A Room with a View, CD 2. Mr. Eager gazed indignantly at Lucy, who met him with equal indignation.
"Murder, if you want to know," he cried angrily. "That man murdered his wife."
"How?" she retorted.
"To all intents and purposes, he murdered her. That day in Santa Croce, did they say anything against me?"
"Not a word, Mr. Eager. Not a single word."
"Oh, I thought they had been libeling me to you. But I suppose it is only their personal charms that makes you defend them."
"I'm not defending them," said Lucy, losing her courage and relapsing into the old chaotic methods. "They're nothing to me."
"How could you think that she was defending them?" said Miss Bartlett, much discomforted by the unpleasant scene.
"She will find it difficult, for that man has murdered his wife in the sight of God."
The addition of God was striking, but the chaplain was really trying to qualify a rash remark. A silence followed, which might have been impressive, but was merely awkward. Then Miss Bartlett hastily purchased the Leaning Tower and led the way into the street.
"I must be going," said he, taking out his watch.
Miss Bartlett thanked him for his kindness and spoke with enthusiasm of the approaching drive.
"Drive? Oh, is our drive to come off?"
Lucy was recalled to her manners, and after a little exertion, the complacency of Mr. Eager was restored.
"Bother the drive," exclaimed the girl as soon as he had departed. "It is just the drive we had arranged with Mr. B, without any fuss at all. Why should he invite us in that absurd manner? We are each paying for ourselves."
Miss Bartlett was launched by this remark into unexpected thoughts.
"If that is so, dear, if the drive we and Mr. Beebe are going with Mr. Eager is really the same as the one we are going with Mr. Beebe, then I foresee a sad kettle of fish."
"How?"
"Because Mr. Beebe has asked Eleanor Lavish to come too."
"That will mean another carriage."
"Far worse. Mr. Eager does not like Eleanor. She's too unconventional for him."
They were now in the newspaper room at the English Bank. Charlotte was crouching in the corner, trying to extract a circular note from a kind of linen nosebag which hung in chaste concealment round her neck. As she groped, she murmured,
"It is you they really want. I'm only asked for appearances. You shall go with the two gentlemen, and I and Eleanor will follow behind. A one-horse carriage would do for us. Yet, how difficult it is."
"It is indeed," replied the girl, with a gravity that sounded sympathetic.
"Oh, dear, Lucy, I do hope Florence isn't boring you. Speak the word, and, as you know, I would take you to the ends of the earth tomorrow."
"Thank you, Charlotte," said Lucy, and pondered over the offer.
There were letters for her at the bureau, one from her brother, full of athletics and biology, one from her mother, delightful as only her mother's letters could be. She had read in it of the crocuses which had been bought for yellow and were coming up puce, of the new parlourmaid who had watered the ferns with essence of lemonade, of the semi-detached cottages which were ruining Summer Street and breaking the heart of Sir Harry Otway.
"And the news?"
asked Miss Bartlett.
"Mrs. Vyse and her son have gone to Rome," said Lucy, giving the news that interested her least. "Do you know the Vyses?"
"Oh, not that way back. We can never have too much of the dear Piazza Signoria."
"They're nice people, the Vyses. So clever. Don't you long to be in Rome?"
"I die for it.
Charlotte," cried the girl suddenly, "what if we popped off to Rome tomorrow, straight to the Vyses Hotel? I'm sick of Florence. No, you said you'd go to the ends of the earth. Do, do."
Miss Bartlett, with equal vivacity, replied,
"Oh, you droll person! Pray, what would become of your drive in the hills?"
They passed together through the gaunt beauty of the square, laughing over the unpractical suggestion. It was Phaethon who drove them to Fiesole that memorable day, a youth all irresponsibility and fire, recklessly urging his master's horses up the stony hill. And it was Persephone whom he asked leave to pick up on the way, saying that she was his sister. Persephone, tall and slender and pale, returning with a spring to her mother's cottage. To her, Mr. Eager objected, saying one must guard against imposition. But the ladies interceded, and when it had been made clear that it was a very great favour, the goddess was allowed to mount beside the god. Phaethon at once slipped the left rein over her head, thus enabling himself to drive with his arm round her waist. Mr. Eager, who sat with his back to the horses, saw nothing of the indecorous proceeding, and continued his conversation with Lucy.